DVR, what's your favorite scary movie?
G'day, g'day, g'day to all you groovy ghoulies out there. Welcome again to Uncensored Horror. I have my normal co-hosts with me, or not so normal co-hosts with me, Miss Katie and Luke, but we have a fresh new face joining us today. Brooke is absentia. She was driving on a deserted road and then we've never seen her again. But Mr. Ryan Coughlin has decided to step in and join us today. How are you, Coughlin? What's going on?
How are you?
We're great. Good. Are you excited to be part of the Uncensored Horror crew?
Of course. It's my favorite genre of movie.
Yeah.
That's all you got?
That's all you got? The trash talking has begun. This is how we
Oh, no, I was looking for some ass kissing. That's what
I was going to say. I know.
I was expecting shirtless Coughlin, but you know, being here we are.
Everyone needs to calm down.
Gotta calm down. One drink so far. We gotta behave.
Stay chained, folks.
Everybody
looks good, though. Everybody happy, healthy, good.
We're always look. I was gonna say we're always happy, but that's not correct, is it? We're here. That's our general answer, isn't it? Everyone's. Ask everyone on the live show. How are you? I'm here. Okay, so that's. I think that's a new shirt. I think that's just a new shirt we need made. I'm here. There we go. How are you? I'm here. I'm ready to go.
New shirt, new co-host, whatever.
We're keeping it fresh. You never know what's going to happen.
Oh, you motherfucker. Sorry. Cat.
Katie's pussy's attacking her. As per usual. Katie's wild, wild pussy.
Wild hairy pussy just attacked me. I'm sorry. Oh, hairy.
Gorgeous. So while we're talking about things that are wild, we're talking things that are wild and hairy today. Leads us to our conversation. This week we are starting our descent. We should watch those.
We should watch those.
We're starting our descent down the pipe, kids. We are going to talk about 2001's Jeepers Creepers. Now let's rewind what I just said. 2001.
I know, we're so old.
What is that
about? Doesn't feel like an old movie, but it's...
What is that about?
It's 11 years old.
I remember seeing this movie. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. I don't feel right about that. I feel like every time there's like an anniversary for Scream or something, I'm like, oh.
There's people out there like in management roles that were born after that was released.
It happens. You know, it happens. Yeah, so let's go around to start with and see when/where everyone saw this movie. We'll start with Luke. When did you see Jeepers Creepers first?
This was a home watch, this one. I think I was still working at a video store back when they existed. That's how old I am. And it came out and I got it. I had not even heard about it and I thought it would just be a shit movie. And I was very pleasantly surprised that it was really good. Like, I was really engaged in it. I think we ended up watching it like 4 times that night. We like really enjoyed it. So,
wow,
yeah.
that's commitment.
Civic video.
Coughlin, when did you first see Jeepers Creepers?
I know I was at a buddy's house. Like, we used to go to Wegmans and rent. I think at that point it was DVDs, right? 01?
Yep.
Yeah,
so we were probably in the basement or at a sleepover watching, you know, a little marathon of horror movies, eating popcorn or whatever. I don't know if there was – it was probably just us, probably just a sausage fest.
Nothing wrong with a sausage fest. Katie, when did you see Jeepers Creepers first?
Oh,
At a sausage fest?
It was not a sausage fest. But...
Hades was a clam bake.
I fucking wish it was. I know I was on a date and the guy was pretty unmemorable. Clearly.
In 01?
Yeah. I was in high school.
Oh, yeah. I guess we were.
You're only a year older than me, bruh.
Yeah, I'm only 25. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yep. That's what you got to tell yourself there. Anyways. Yep. The gentleman was as unmemorable as the movie.
Oh,
I was not real crazy about this movie. I have some pretty strong feelings about it, as we will find out.
Yes.
Did she get to home base, though, on the date?
No. Okay. No, I was pretty much a nice queen.
Okay. What, so no finger bag, nothing.
What was that?
Do you remember who it was?
I just told you the man was unmemorable.
Oh, I know. You don't remember his name or anything?
No, I don't remember who it was. I don't remember who took me.
It was your boyfriend, George.
George Glass.
I've never heard of a George Glass at our school.
It was George Glass. Who was I dating?
You went alone, didn't you, Katie? Tell us.
No. who was I dating in 2001? No.
God, you remember 2001? I don't.
I don't remember.
That's prime alcohol.
When did this drop? When did this drop in 01? Was it the like third?
Let's see. It August. Dropped in. Okay, so
August. Well, I was going into 10th grade, I think. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
We were out, Luke. We were big adults by this time.
Yeah.
Damn.
I was working at the video store.
Freshly new adults we were. We were out there going, ooh.
Apparently,
yeah, I definitely saw this at the cinemas.
Still trying to think of who it could have been.
Think about it. We will know by the end. Hopefully.
We'll come back at the end of the show.
Katie will have a flashback and she'll be like, George!
No, I think this was right before I started dating all the guys in Auburn. So.
Before she became the town.
We'll be here all day. That's its own round table. Stephen, so when you watched it at the cinema, how did you feel? So how did it make you feel?
I actually distinctly remember this because there was a drunk guy down the front. The cinema was full. And when, like in the first scenes when they were doing in the car, some guy got up and yelled, "Fuck your sister." Because Gina Phillips was hot and he got removed from the cinema. So that's why I remember this movie. It's like, fuck your sister. Everyone's like, shut up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But then he got kicked out. So, yeah. I distinctly remember seeing this movie. I remember it being a tense environment, too. I remember the cinema being quite like, ooh, about it.
I remember who it was now.
There we go. She's had a quantum leap.
You know.
Well, we just need a first name. That's all we need.
We want inches.
Bobby.
Brian, but not the Brian you know, obviously.
No, I know. Well, yeah, you said 01.
It was wrong to make up George Glass.
Yeah. Bobby.
Bobby.
Bobby. Bobby. All right. So,
how many quarters, Katie?
never got that far. Never
before
got that far.
Before we
even 01, Luke. She was only 15. 14.
Yeah, but an easy 15?
Nope.
All right. Nope. Anyway, enough about Katie's past.
Past.
Anyways.
We're not going to bury the lead. We're going to talk about it straight up front because we have had many discussions about whether or not we would watch this movie / review this movie. Because of the history behind the director and writer of this movie, Victor Salva. Do you want to talk about it, Katie? Or
sure.
Do you want me to talk about it?
I feel
like Katie's got feelings.
Katie has big feelings, about this.
Wait, what?
So in 1988, Victor Salva was convicted of sexual misconduct. This was on the set of his masterpiece. Clown House, you know. I was that one straight to VHS? I can't remember. It doesn't really matter. It was shit. The specific charges were lewd and conduct, oral sex with a person under 14, and procuring a child for pornography. He was sentenced to 3 years in state prison, of which he only served 15 months. Shocking that a white male only served a fraction of his sentence.
He was 30.
No one's shocked.
No better by them.
No one's shocked. Not one person is shocked. And then he was paroled in he finished his parole in 1992, and he went on to enjoy a successful career. Yeah, because in 95, Powder came out, and he blew up.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, a bit more behind the scenes for this movie, and a bit more behind the scenes on Victor Salva as well. He was actually and there's a big name behind this movie. He was actually discovered by Francis Ford Coppola as a student filmmaker, and the reason, especially that this movie got the push it did, because he was going to sell it to Sony, and just as like a one-off and done, he got a 10-picture deal with MGM for this movie and United Artists. I don't know how many of those movies he actually ever made because of everything that blew up afterwards, but the reason that this movie was so successful and, you know, got so much actual exposure is because of Francis Ford Coppola, which is really strange.
Random, very random producer on the
very, very random. Very, very random. So,
but this is the thing, are we all able to separate the art from the person behind it?
I think it doesn't make him any less of a worse person than he made a good movie, but we can say that about a lot of people in Hollywood. I watched a lot of them. I have watched the special edition features on the Blu-ray, and he's like, I showed it to all these people and they were really scared of the movie. Bryan Singer came over to my house and watched it and he was scared. I was like, oh God.
Not really making your case there, bud.
That's who you're hanging around with? Okay. No worries. But see, it's not a town that is known for innocence and purity and nice things that happen to people. For every story that you hear, there's about 500 other stories that we don't know of. Like, we all thought that Kevin Spacey was a decent dude for a while there.
We all thought George Michael was a ladies' man.
Yeah. Things happen. So we are never going to know what happens behind the scene. Behind the scenes of anything, especially if you look back in Hollywood and the things that they used to do to their stars. Like,
yeah, weird, man.
I think this is a case where we're going to try and separate the artist from the art and just see what it has done for the movie. So if you haven't seen Jeepers Creepers 2001, you're about 22 years late.
21. It's still 2022.
I know math. That's not right.
Actually, we're gonna jump in too. It's exactly 21 years. Wow.
There we go. Oh, see? I'm really good. Who knew? Timing
is good thing you're pretty.
Pretty stupid. Anyway, if you haven't seen the movie, see the movie, watch it, and then join us, or don't. Yeah, whatever you feel like doing. You know, it's up to you. You do that. You do you, boo. I'm not going to make you do what you don't want to do. But Jeepers Creepers revolves around brother and sister, Derry and Trish Jenner, coming home from college on a spring break. They're driving through the Florida countryside as they run into a spot of trouble, engaging with a truck that, nearly runs them off the road.
It's road raging.
Bit of road rage, and then we see that that truck is carrying mysterious cargo, and the story that unfolds should give you the creeps. So let's
talk
about...
And what about the number plate? The number plate.
We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay. What I want to start with are these two.
Be eating here.
Dina Phillips and Justin Long. Now, pretty... At this time...
Both Justin unknown, was weren't they?
Pretty much unknown.
Justin was starting to get a lot of roles then.
Justin was starting to get famous. Gina, not so much. The movie would not work without them at all. I think that they...
What do you mean? Is shitty?
They own that. They own this movie. I think that they are
The brother and sister character were very much, they were the movie. Like, it was sort of a callback to older horror where the villain wasn't showcased all the way. So it was about the characters, and they were quite a solid pair, I thought. They played off each other well, well acted, well written, well directed.
I don't know about you, but I thought that cat lady was the whole movie.
We will talk about Eileen later.
Just because you saw yourself in her.
Eileen's an icon. Future goals. Future goals.
But Victor Salva said that the reason that Justin Long got the part, because they read everyone for these parts, apparently. Everyone in Hollywood came through the doors to try and get these roles. The reason that Justin got the role is he's the only male that came through and allowed himself to look actually terrified, which I believe, because watching this again, his performance is pretty damn strong. Like,
wouldn't you be terrified alone?
He's
with
a bratty little brat. But
yes,
when do you,
thank you, Luke.
But when do you see a male movie star, you know, acknowledge fear like that? Usually it's like, oh, I'm gonna bash the shit out of it. Testosterone. I'm fucking gonna fuck it up. He was scared. Kid was scared. Kid was terrified. Kid was traumatized. And
Kid
you
probably
saw
knew who he was in the room with. Come on.
And you saw that. And Gina Phillips got the Gina Phillips? Am I saying
yep,
the wrong?
Gina Phillips. Yep.
Gina Phillips. I'm like, China Phillips?
No.
Where is she now?
Well, I don't know what happened to Gina Phillips. But Gina, she's like headstrong as the day is long. I really enjoyed her performance. I thought they were a good pairing.
Gina Phillips' last movie was Doom Annihilation.
Oh. With The Rock? Or was this like a shitty sequel?
No, it'd be a sequel by the sounds of it.
I never bought Justin Long and that girl, his brother and sister, even rewatching it. It's funny because the story that Steve, you just told about the guy yelling up saying, fuck your sister. That's the vibe I got. Like,
yeah, I got a lot of sexual tension between them too.
Yeah, and you could tell. Like, maybe they didn't.
They were into each other.
But maybe I actually thought his character was gay. Like, there was allusions to that. Like, he was sort of.
No.
Yeah, I caught that too.
Girl, that's why he was sad on the way home, right? Wasn't that like the whole thing? Him and his girl.
Yeah, yes, but she made a. Well, she made a lot of gay jokes, but, you know, it was 2001, and that was trendy to make gay jokes.
That was still okay back then, apparently.
It was.
But I just didn't buy the chemistry. I mean, they did great job, but I they felt more like he wanted to get in her pants, even in the car conversations. I'm like, dude, whatever.
She's cute, so don't
play. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
She's cute.
So Coughlin thought it was going to be an adult film.
Fuck your sister, man.
Now this the peacefulness of sibling rivalry is disrupted pretty early. The thing I like about this movie is it happens straight away. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't get a lot of fucking around. There's that RV that's just chilling behind him. It turns off the road and there is the demon truck from hell coming up behind them, getting involved, and, you know, trying to run them off the road. What's the license plate, Luke?
Well, it was B-E-A-T.
Be eating you.
Yes. Yeah. But they were trying to work out what it was saying. It was like beating you.
Yeah.
Beating you. Beating you comes
up. Eating
comes
you.
Up later.
Later.
It comes up. Comes up later, yes. So they experience this truck and think it's just a random redneck inbreeding that is trying to run them off the road until they drive past the truck at the outskirts of an old abandoned church and they see the occupant dumping a sheep.
Something.
Wrapped in ropes with red blood on it, down a pipe. Now, this is the moment. This is always the moment in horror movies. Bitch, I would have kept driving.
Mind your business.
I am not that good a Samaritan.
No, 100%.
Oh, no, I'm a pretty decent Samaritan. I might have called someone, but
Then they keep going, and then they only went back because of I just watched this when we were supposed to do it, but then they keep driving and not stop, and then they went back for some reason.
They did.
They were kind of minding their business,
but then he convinced her. Imagine if it was me down that pipe.
Right. Right. Okay. Yep. That was dumb. That wasn't
believable. Idiot, brother.
That wasn't believable to me either. I'm like, who the fuck would do that?
Okay. What are the characters' names again?
Watching
Trish and Jerry.
Trish and Jerry. So Jerry was a dickhead.
Barry.
Barry.
Dairy.
D.
As in Darius. His name is Darius. His name is Darius, but they call him Darry.
The D.
Yeah. Okay, so Darry was a douche and wanted to go back.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, produced.
Back then, it was like fine, but now when I watch it, I'm like, no chance that people would fucking do that.
No.
Darry, don't be a hero, is all we have to say.
Right. No.
And if he hadn't been a hero, we'd have all been okay. But, you know, he decides that he wants to imagine if it was me down that pipe, blah, 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 blah. Now, interestingly, here we get a little bit of an urban legend going back about a couple that had gone missing on that road many, many years before, and that they had the female of the pair had lost her head and was never found. And then Trish gets mega soft. She goes, you know, after I heard that story, I thought this was the road I'd die on. She's like, Jesus Christ. It's fucking deep, girl.
She wasn't happy.
She wasn't happy. It's like, girl's having a rough time. So, and this is the next what the fuck are you doing moment. We get to the creepy church covered in crows, as you do. And we decide to go down a rusty pipe.
That just seems like a good idea, right? Like,
but it was tetanus. Well, he wasn't going to go down. He's like, get me a torch,
right, or flashlight, or
And then walk away. As he walked away, we heard the voice. We heard the cry for help. It was only very, very like. Watching it on Blu-ray, it's very, very quiet in the mix of sound. I was like, oh, shit, that's right. There's someone down there. That's why he went down there. So after he heard the cry for help, he lowers himself face first into that pipe, gets attacked by rats. Trish just bails on him. Trish is like, nah, bruh, you'll be right. Literally drops him and lets him go. Good shot of the fall, though. I thought that was good. The slow motion, then he bounces off the floor. That was cool. I enjoyed that shot. No one else? Okay. That's fine.
I mean,
No. We're there with you. We can see it.
Rewatching it, I wasn't shocked that I hadn't watched it since I originally saw it at that point. I was just getting very pissed. There's redeeming qualities. It's a good. It's also like just one of those ones where I could go all another 20 years without.
Stupid decisions. Let's put it that way.
I mean, every time, you know, as a horror fan, you kind of have to like. You have to let these kind of stupid decisions go because you
suspension
know
suspension of disbelief. You've got to go. Yes, okay.
Like, you just gotta go, like, I know you're gonna make this stupid decision, but I can't believe you're gonna make this stupid decision.
And but some of those horror movie dumb decisions, people have made dumber decisions in real life. So some of them you're like, okay, I can buy that. But, you know, at this point, there's two in a row where you're just like, all right.
Because in real life, in real life, if you're driving down a deserted highway and you see a creepy guy dumping a body down a tube.
Yeah, I'm not staring at him.
I'm not looking at you. I'm definitely not like pulling up 911 on my Bluetooth. I'm definitely not doing any of that. 100%. Like, right? Like
100%.
That was the good thing about this movie too, is that did you see the phone? It was like a old school flip phone.
Wasn't it like one of the first Nokias, like with the bars, like, oh shit.
Oh god, 2001
like,
was such a good
I have a
year
cigarette lighter that doesn't work. It's like, oh wow, that's right, remember? That was really cute.
2001 is such a good year.
We are so old, guys. Anyway, Darry lands down in the basement of the church and finds his blood-covered parcel of fun that comes to life and grabs his seat. And this would be me. I would have kicked that to death. If nope. something grabbed, I would be like,
Would have been climbing up that too. Nope.
Yeah, I would just rock. I'd probably be rocketed out of that basement by feces. Like the Rocketeer.
Sky rocket.
Beautiful
life.
Afternoon delight. Darry rips open the package to reveal a mutilated young man. That was a big incision in the chest there. That was all puckered. I was watching the special effects supervisor going, originally everything was meant to be very dry because it was like the it was Florida and like the desiccating skin of the creeper, and they're like, nah, everything's going to be wet so it looks better on camera. I'm like, it was moist. There was a lot of ooey gooeyness in this movie, and I was like, ooh.
Well, okay, I don't know. I mean, Florida's swampy.
I know, but still. Anytime that, like, there's surgical things that are gooey, it kind of makes you go a bit, ooh.
Yeah, well, yeah, you kind of want to.
Yeah, so he's had something removed, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And dies when Darry gets there, so. Look at the creeper in the back of Katie's camera.
Oh, the kitty?
There's going to be something happening in a minute. This could be gone.
Looks like he's after something.
Yeah, he's after something.
Oh, there's probably a bug he's staring at. Yep. Go get it. Get it.
Nah, it's not gonna happen.
Okay.
So Trish is sent out to the road now to flag down passing cars, and she doesn't really do much of a job, does she? She just kind of stands there.
Yeah, idiot.
What she got.
No, right. She thinks she sees the beating you truck, and tries to get the car going, and then just fucks up. Incredibly.
Because apparently it's hard to start, you know, a stick shift.
Well, she didn't drive stick shift before she got this role. She had to learn how to drive stick for this movie role. So
some of those
I guess that kind of helped. So Darry, meanwhile, is down in the basement and discovers that there's a whole lot more going on down there than just one body.
Oh, God, fuck that.
Yeah, I still remember.
You want to fuck that wall of bodies?
Okay, that's a terrible joke.
I still remember seeing.
I see the wall.
Not okay, Conklin. Not okay.
I still remember seeing that shot for the first time and going, oh, fuck, that's intense.
Yeah, I'll give you that, especially at that time, like back in 01. You didn't really, I can't remember anything like that.
That makes me think of the catacombs.
Watching it again, there was genitalia on display. Oh, catacombs was later because
I'm not thinking the movie. I'm thinking literally the
catacombs. Oh, right. Okay. I'm saying in a movie, like, there was never a big reveal like that. Like, that was kind of new at that point.
No,
I'm just literally thinking the catacombs.
Gotcha.
It's just a Sistine Chapel of, like, mannequin lacquered bodies that obviously had been collected and cut up and sewed together. We find the urban legend was actually a true story when we discover, you know, the high school couple with her head reattached. And Darry gets out.
So wait, they found her body and knew her head was missing. So how did the creeper get the body back?
It was an urban. They never found the body.
It was an
urban legend. That happened to be true.
All right.
So they Darry gets out and is, I believe, the trauma. That kid has seen some shit when he gets out of that, when he's like dead-eyed at the window of the car. He's like, I'm like, oh bitch, you've been through some shit.
Right.
And they managed to get to this. I love how many isolated gas stations there are in Horror Movie Land. Isolated gas stations where, like, the whole town hang out, apparently.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Small town.
Yeah, in the diner, right? The diner was in the gas station. That was
weird.
It reminded me of that place in Syracuse.
What, Lil' Gem?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
So that was kind of believable, to be honest.
Yeah.
Dive bars.
So I'm gonna, I'll drop it. The little fun fact. So there was a real life sister, Ray and Marie Thornton, who were driving by somebody, actually taking his wife's body out and putting it in what they found later to be an abandoned schoolhouse. His name was Dennis DePew. Killed his wife, stashed her in a schoolhouse. That brother and sister were driving by. He proceeded to like chase them down the road for a couple miles, and that's where like this whole idea spawned for the movie, and that's where those scenes obviously are mirrored off of. So I thought that was kind of not cool, obviously, but you know,
I think it's
cool. Interesting because I didn't know that it was based on anything real.
So why did they go with the based on a true story thing like they've done with every other horror movie? Because technically, it is based on a true story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could get away with that, but yeah, we are in
just like Wolf Creek's.
Wolf Creek could do laps around this movie.
What is Wolf Creek?
You've not seen Wolf Creek.
You've never seen Wolf Creek. Oh, okay. That's another conversation.
Lachlan, that's your job after we do this review.
Wolf Creek is an Australian horror movie.
Okay. Sounds like a show.
Wolf Creek is scary.
It's a TV show as well. That's okay.
Yeah, there was a series as well. It's like a
series or something.
Actually, it had two seasons, didn't it?
It had two seasons. There's a third one coming out, the third movie as well. Anyway, we're getting off topic.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
We've arrived at the diner. We've arrived at the diner where Trish stamps her authority and yells at everyone in the diner.
She's saying, respect my authority!
She comes in and goes, need a phone! And they're like, no! Trish is that bitch. So while she's trying to console Darren, get him to pull his shit together, the payphone rings out of nowhere because, you know, that happens in movies. And we get...
Look, Darren looks fucking... He does look distressed.
Yeah, he's had it. She's had it. Poor bitch has had it. We get an ominous warning over the phone to watch out for the cats. We should say that to Katie.
Yeah, that
Katie's pussy.
That whole thing.
Watch out for the cat. Oh.
Hey, get your hands off your pussy.
Cat. Moment number three.
I feel sorry for the people that are listening to just the audio of this on Spotify and stuff.
That's okay.
They're going to have to log in and see that she was actually touching a pussy.
She was holding a cat.
I was holding a very large, fat pussy.
So she also, the mysterious caller also gives them a warning to listen out for a particular song.
Right.
Jeepers creepers. Where'd you get those papers?
I can't believe I actually pulled off the whistle.
They are very confused by this. The police eventually arrive and there's an incident out the front. Now, this was kind of, I was like, we didn't see this happen, but it was creepy. Someone was breaking into their car and smelling the laundry in the back of the car.
Dewey, get out of the back seat.
That's gross. I'm like, oh. So the creeper has followed them. Followed
picked
them
up
back,
their scent.
Picked up their scent, if you were, she says. So that I thought that was a bit, ooh, how you going? But anyway, as we continue,
we're not here to kink shame.
The creepers smelling young men's underwear, but that's okay, whatever.
Keeping up their sense, man, to follow them.
Yeah. The creeper.
Stop reading into it. Stop projecting your own filth into it.
I do love the framing shot of Trish looking up into the darkness and you just get the food. Side.
I was gonna say, I do love death panties sometimes.
Yeah, well, look, you know, depending on the day.
Not asking about your outside habits there, Mr. Coughlin.
No, I thought that's what Steve was about to say. He's like, I do sometimes.
Mm-mm, mm-mm, mm-mm.
So there is a police escort for the young children as they try to go from one town to another, but the police escort does not.
Why did they get a police escort?
Because they were in danger.
Well, also
you in danger, girl.
I think he was kind of like okay, he's freaking out, like, let's watch this kid for a bit. You know,
let's
watch
this kid, let's follow this kid to see what they're up to. As they're escorting, there's a call that comes over the police scanner that says the church is actually on fire.
That's right.
So they're suspected arsonists now as well. But that does not last long. There's a thump on the roof of the police car. One of the deputies is quickly dispatched as it is revealed the creeper can surf. I live. Chris, the creeper is crowd surfing with his battle axe and quickly gets rid of the other.
Well, it was foreshadowed by Jeepers Creepers play, but it was a remix.
Yeah, there was it sounded like the Tuesday Night version of Jeepers Creepers.
I actually have that remix somewhere. Like, it was I think it was released in like the late 80s, early 90s.
So this is happening while the car is being attacked behind them. Jeepers Creepers is playing on the radio. Darry notices the song. Then all of a sudden, a head hits the windscreen and they spin out.
That scene, though, was crazy. I do remember when that first happened. I was like,
fuck.
That's when you knew it was kicking up a gear now, like we're in for.
But you knew it was like a creature, though. You were like, all right, this isn't a person. Like, this is something. At first, I was kind of like,
the scene where the creeper eats the cop's tongue?
We're about to talk about
afterward. Yeah. You find that out after this whole sequence.
So we get the spin out. We get the typical horror movie. Are you okay? What's going on? Darry gets Trish to get back in the car because they get to witness this touching moment.
Yes, dude.
Tastes so darn good.
As the
creeper picks up the cop's head, smells it, then starts to it looks like make out with a decapitated head, but what he's really doing is ripping out the tongue.
Nummies.
Now that was a very interesting moment.
I just love the sign. And it was very good.
So done.
I actually didn't notice that until just now.
Just then. It was good. There's a couple of those framing shot things that are really funny. You're like, good on you there. But they play the horror of that situation off. They both do glassy eyes very well. It's like, oh, get those tears pumping, boys and girls.
Don't eat his tongue.
This poor car takes off down the road. This car that's been ran off the road 700 times. And they come to a stop at the front of a farmhouse because Trish is going to kill them with her driving. And this was the other part that really, like, did it for me. This section of the movie. I was like, yes, I wish it was a bit longer. They pull up to a farmhouse. They meet a mysterious cat lady.
Katie in 40 years.
Hold on.
40 years. Now Eileen.
Whatever.
Very famous character actress Eileen Brennan. She's been in a lot of stuff. She's very famously in Will and Grace, and she was great.
And she's Mrs. Peacock, right? In Clue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was Zandra.
Good actress. Good amazing. Fun.
They originally wanted Debbie Morgan or Tina Turner for this.
Tina Turner. She's like, down here, we don't think nice and easy. We shoot the creeper.
Mm-hmm.
She's just standing there. Anyway, my Tina Turner
joke. She's rolling with the creeper.
She's rolling with the creeper. But this is my favorite part. She goes, you kids got anyone with you? No. Why? Because that ain't my scarecrow. What the fuck was that? I remember going, that's not okay. It turns out she's a badass. She rips out that shotgun and blows the creeper to smithereens, apparently, until he blows through her roof.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not wrong character.
It's for the psychic, isn't it?
Yep, sorry. My bae.
It's all good. Oh, that's sad. The creature. I don't like the creeper with my shotgun.
Anyway. Psychic.
She's a private dancer. She goes to protect her babies. You hear a couple her hundreds of cats that react very badly to the creeper. And
are you protective of your pussies, Katie?
Very.
Yeah.
He comes back with her dead and, like, hanging. She gets chucked. That had to be a doll because I was like, that old lady wouldn't have copped that throw too well.
Oh, that whole thing.
Mae Young used to.
Huh?
Mae Young used to get flung around on WWE. She was old.
Anyway. Different. She was trained for it.
She was not
wrestling?
Yeah.
Hey.
WWE is wrestling, yes.
Got it.
Anyways.
It's a Luke joke. We gotta let it slide.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I was gonna make a joke, but I refrained.
Let's keep this rolling.
That's okay. They try to escape and the creeper has other plans. This is where we get the you can tell this was post the Matrix, right?
Oh, did they check out
check out the wire work?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, because the Matrix was 99, wasn't it?
99, yeah.
Yeah, we had some wire work moments here with the creeper jumping over and over backwards and over the car until she actually hits him. And Trish will not fucking cop it. She's going backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. And I would have kept going. There would just be a puddle of creeper. But she didn't hit the head. Why did they never go for the head in these things?
You
were running the head first.
Right. She was in a bit of a flap.
I just want to point out you were going backwards and forwards and then said something about head.
Yeah, well, look, that's the kind of girl I am. It's all good. This is also, where we get to...
Also, every episode of this I watch, Steve is the one who's like, all right, we got to keep it moving. For Katie to do it, she must really want this review to be over.
Yeah, she does. So this is where we get the reveal that the creeper well and truly is not a man, as a giant wing springs out from his back. And yeah, it's like someone ran over half a chicken. They just keep going. And
I don't know.
Over.
Dated some guys that are pretty monstrous.
Oh, but a boots.
So was the creeper meant to be? Was he like a...
What was that?
I missed that joke. Nothing, never mind.
Monstrous ex-boyfriends.
Monstrous ex-boyfriends.
I think it was...
I didn't get it.
Okay, just... Okay, it's dead. Go.
Yeah. Like, wait, what?
So the pair managed to...
They managed to get
to Poho County, which is where they're trying... Which is where... the police station is, which is where they can try and get help. This is where they finally meet face to face with Giselle, the psychic.
This is who they wanted Tina for.
Yes.
This makes more sense.
She lets them know that one of them will hear Jeepers Creepers as they scream in the dark. He'd be like, bitch. I'll be like, well, then you're not leaving. I would be like duct tape to that woman. I'm like, if I'm going to be screaming in the dark, you're going to be screaming with me.
Right.
You know? And this is another scene where he gets a, like, I feel like this is like the Justin Long movie where he just gets to act his little pants off. Where he's like, you need to tell me that you've never been wrong, and like screaming in her face. I'm like, damn, boy, calm down. Like,
is this also the point where she tells them one of them's gonna,
yeah, be screaming like, in the dark?
She won't tell him which one of them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yep.
And it's a big misdirect. It's a big misdirect because we think it's one person because of the way it's shot.
Well, she looks at her at the end. Yeah, they were pretty much begging her. She was like,
"Yeah, yeah."
Right.
It's a big misdirect, but they don't get time to ruminate on this too much because the mystery, as she's describing that the creeper is not a man, it's a thing that is old and has been around forever. Every 23 summers for 23 days, it gets to hunt, and it will find people that it likes by making them scared. When they're scared, it can smell what in that person it needs. Cooking. Whether it be a tongue, an arm.
Were the coppers scared though? I don't think the cops were scared.
It didn't matter.
That's
because
that joke.
It went to the prisoners first. So it got what it needed from the prisoners. It scared the shit out of those guys in the jail. It ripped off the guy's leg. It needed a new leg. It ripped off the guy's arm because it needed a new arm and ate it. So beating you was not beating you. It was
eating you.
Ba-da-ba-ta. Power goes out in the prison and all shit breaks loose. We get a lot of dispatched people as the Creeper roams the halls and tries to hunt down Dari and Trish. This is pretty much the end of the movie, too. They get upstairs. Giselle says, no matter what happens, he takes you from this building. He takes one of you from this building. So, no matter what happens.
What a bitch. If you knew that, why would you tell them?
You're not being a very useful psychic, are you?
I think she's pretty much being blunt. Like, sorry, guys. You're dead.
Yeah,
but you would be like, get out of here, don't go. But the reason they can't leave is because the whole police station is electronically controlled. They can't get out of the doors, so it's like self-fulfilling prophecy. The Creeper does a cool, like, little Spider-Man wall walk here, which was cool, and smells just that was another part in the movie when I saw it first. It was a bit of a jump scare moment when he pops up behind her and smells her. He's like,
yep. Yep.
I was like, oh god, I thought he's gonna rip his throat out or something.
Was it the sister?
No, he smells the psychic.
Oh, it smells the psychic. And he didn't want her.
No, because he wants Trish and Dari.
Yeah, he pretty much was like, all right.
I think he'd want her third eye. She could see
Trish and, yeah, you would think that. Trish and Dari lock themselves in an interrogation room that they don't know about. And this was another cool moment when Trish goes up to the double-sided glass. And she's trying to look through it, and the Creeper's on the other side licking the glass.
Yep.
I was like, oh, what is that about? That is creepy.
Yeah.
Cute Creeper busting through glass, grabbing them, like forcefully grabbing them too, like picks them up, smells them. We get more scared Justin Long, like smelling. As a whole battalion of cops break in. Like, I don't know where all... I don't know what police station has this many people for a small county. Why are there like 30 police officers on active duty at that time of night?
It's fine though. It's more believable than like three of them being there. But again, yeah, I get it.
Well, it's not like Haddonfield General Hospital where like two people work by candlelight.
Or I was going to say,
Halloween dies tonight.
Halloween.
No, I'm talking Halloween 2, where it's like,
no, I know.
Just the interns, and we just don't turn on the power at night.
In fairness, a lot of nurses and stuff are walking out of the job right now, so.
Well, there we go.
Maybe it was foreshadowing.
1982, or 1980, whatever.
The Creeper has decided that it would like Dari. And Trish does a very good job of trying to convince him to take her instead. She's stronger, take me. And then there's this, that scream was a bit much too. I had my TV really loud when it screamed. I was like, oh, fuck. Turn it down because I was watching it at like 2 a.m. It screeched. Had like a little like frill neck lizard moment where it was like, and flared up.
So what
smashes
is he?
Out the window.
What is he?
That's the point. It's nothing. You don't know what it is. It's just a mystery.
What kind of bug is he?
Flies out the window with Dari. As we get some more, I think that she deserves props just for her scream. She got a good scream on her. She runs out and watches her brother. Like, how helpless is that? That's the most helpless moment I've seen in a movie for a while. Is that she? What can you do? Your monster has your brother and he's flying away. You're like, well, I'm fucked, aren't I?
Yeah. Well, she knew it was coming.
Real fuck now.
Yeah, guess who's fucked now? It's Dari. So that's we do see Trish when her parents arrive, just looking somberly out. And that's the last we will see of her for a little while. That's all I'm going to say. We do, however, find I guess it's a factory of some sort. A disused factory. Again, very wet factory, lots of water. We do hear screams. We hear screams coming from the darkness. Aww. As the creeper works away at his desk.
Poor Gary.
Fabulously familiar song. As we reveal exactly what we took from young Derry.
What is that?
His eyes. Da, yeah. Da, da.
But it was great because they started up at his belly button. Like they started a shot at the belly button because you see the nose tattoo. Kind
of
like,
oh,
yes. Yeah, so we definitely knew it was Derry.
And, you know, they start the shot up and you hear the whistling. And
you're like, could he be... But see, with the belly button thing, it's like, oh, he's still alive. He's being tortured. And they're like, oh, you've got no back of your head. Right. Okay,
like,
that's all.
Oh, there's a chance he's going to get out. Like, here's the climax. Yeah. Maybe.
And then, boom, creeper, back of the head, guy's eyes.
Yeah.
And you've got to think, that's a wrap for Jeepers Creepers. You've got to think,
done.
For 2001, for a horror movie to have a not happy, like, you know, everyone survived and got through it and done it right. Usually for that, it to have that bleak an ending, it was like, oh fuck, radio.
Those are my favorite kind of endings though.
I do remember the cinema sitting there going, there was audible silence when the do you know the boogeyman started playing. It's like, oh, okay.
That's probably why you never called me after that, because I think I said cool.
Steve, what happened to the guy that said fuck your sister? Where was he by this point?
He was gone at the beginning.
Wanted to know the outcome for him. You don't know.
I don't know. He probably fucked his sister. It's probably
home fucking his sister.
Now, here is the mystery of this movie.
Sure.
They ran over budget before they got halfway through. This police station section was supposed to happen in the middle of the movie. So that's why I feel it now that it's mentioned. The first 45 minutes is really tight. We get past that cat lady scene and it kind of goes into something that's a bit different. Originally, Trish and Derry escape. So this is in the working script. There's actual panels and stuff drawn up for it. Trish and Derry escape in the beating you car. They take the creeper's car. They drive it away. He gets the creeper catches up with them via flight and throws Trish from the vehicle because she wants Derry.
Mm-hmm.
And Derry has a hero's moment and drives the truck into an oncoming train. There's an explosion. End of the movie.
Yeah, I like this ending better. Not the one you just told me, like the one that they filmed.
That we got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that happened by necessity.
Well, so it shows that, better ending.
How some things can really change a movie. When they were in the writing process, they took the scripts to MGM and they're like, oh no, we don't want that. We need the creeper to talk. We need a backstory on the creeper. We need all this, that, and that for it to be made. And Francis Ford Coppola said, don't give it to them. So this movie could have been very, very, very different had people got the way that they wanted it to be. Whether you enjoyed that or not is another thing. Katie, talk to me.
What do you want me to say?
How many beating you mobiles are you giving this out of five?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Two and a half. Like, really? Fine. I'll round up to three. I'll be generous.
Okay.
I will be generous. I'll round up to three with that little tidbit you gave me because that gives it a little extra.
Yeah. So, Katie, did you think it was a good movie? Yes or no?
Not really. I think it was pretty uninspired, quite honestly.
Are you saying this because you hate Victor?
I do hate Victor with a fiery hot passion, but I'm not especially impressed with this movie. I think it's nothing special. I think Justin Long got a pretty good start on this. He was only 22. I like him better in Drag Me to Hell. I think that's where he really shines.
Nice.
I mean, it is what it is. My cat was really creepy in that shot just there with his glowy eyes, creepier than the movie. I don't think it deserved two sequels. I don't think it deserves the sequel it's about to get. But This could have been a one and done.
Well, originally he didn't want to make a sequel.
It really should have just been one and done. It didn't need any more than it got. But no, I think it was pretty uninspired. I don't think it was anything special. Justin Long was great. Gina Phillips was great. That psychic lady was pretty creepy. I liked her. But besides that, meh.
But it was released on Labor Day. So a lot of people, even the film company didn't have much of a plan for it. Off a $10 million budget, it made $59.37 million. So with that kind of change, there was going to be a sequel.
Oh,
what about you, Coughlin?
I know what why it got a sequel. I just don't think it deserved it.
I agree.
Give us a rating.
To be honest, I'm pretty much on the same page because I'm looking at Now and Then. So I remember when I first watched it. It was what it was, but when it was revealed it was like a creature and not a human, that threw me off. I was kind of like, this takes away from it a little bit, but it was also cool. So it's a weird watch for me because I felt like, wow, there's some really interesting new things that are happening that makes this cool, but then the cliches like we were talking about earlier, the plot points that were unbelievable, or just the way it all unfolded with the creature, and then the end. But the ending, I will say, I remember when I originally watched it, I was just like, oh, shit. Just like you said, at that point in time, there wasn't movies where the bad guy wins. So you were kind of just like, oh, you know what I mean? And so I do remember that. And I remember being like, okay, I take it for what it was. I'm not going to rewatch it. And I didn't until this. And then watching it now, I still felt the same way. I was like, there was some awesome acting in it. And there was some shitty acting in it. There were some good plot points. There were some shitty plot points. I could do without it. I don't think it was anything groundbreaking, but it's not a movie I'm mad at. You know what I mean? If it was on, I would probably watch it. But I do agree with Katie. I mean, my initial gut was to give it probably 2, 2.5, but I'll round up to 3 for same reasons because of the ending, the shock value at that point in time, you know, not now, but For what the movie is and when it came out and disregarding anything else about the film or who was involved with it, you know, it is what it is. It's probably a guilty pleasure horror movie for a lot of people, but you know, 3.
Beautiful. Luke.
Look, I'll be a little bit more generous. I'll give it a 4 beating you trucks out of 5. I think it was I think it was a solid film. I do see, though, Luke's where they ran out of the budget. Like, you could tell that it changed gears a little bit production-wise. And, you know, that translates in the final product, but it didn't ruin it. I don't think it was a solid film. It had pretty good acting, really, and it was directed well. I thought it was a fun flick.
It was directed. Very nice. I'll give you that. It was directed well.
I'm going to look at it in the context of when it was released. So it was 2001 and we were right in the middle of every man and his dog wanting to make a clone of Scream. Everyone wanted to do teen slashers and how many different versions of a teen slasher can we get? Right. For us to have an old school Universal monsters kind of movie where the antagonist was not human was a point of difference that I really enjoyed. I like, especially at the beginning, the sense of isolation that you get. You don't see power lines. You don't see anything like that. These kids are well and truly alone. It gives me a little bit of Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibes at the very beginning.
Yep.
When they are by themselves on the road. I think that Trish and Darry are both well acted out the wazoo. I think that this, as even Victor Salva says it himself, the first 45 minutes of this movie are gold. The second half of it is where it falls apart. After the cat lady, this is where it falls apart.
Did it though?
Yeah, I think it did because
feel that there was a change.
There's a shift. There's a shift from, and I think it's taking it from that that environment of, you know, where it's a little bit claustrophobic because you are isolated, to putting it in this, you know, bigger situation where there's all these cops for no reason and da-da-da-da-da-da. If there was more of a sense of that growing, I would go with it. But look, it stuck with me. I really enjoy this movie. I'm going to give it a 4 as well. I'm going to be eating it for 4. But this is the joy of
us. 3.5 on the board. You got 2 3s, 2 4s.
You guys are just way too generous.
Yeah, that's
for that. Katie, you don't need to talk about generous when you made us watch Leprechaun.
Listen,
Leprechaun was better than this.
No, it wasn't. To be
Jennifer
fair,
Aniston's ass.
Leprechaun
was saving grace.
And I gave you guys options. You picked Leprechaun.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, let's just say Patty's there. Can you do the voice again for us, Steve? I'm just saying Patty's there.
I have options. I said, you guys, you can pick a good Irish film or you can pick Leprechaun. They picked Leprechaun.
We picked a movie that people would have seen because you
I loved that to. Episode.
See? The trash episodes are the ones that people like. Now, whether we like it or not, Katie may not be joining us. There are still 2 more movies to discuss in the Jeepers Creepers series. With a new
Katie will be there. Katie's a trooper.
September. Katie so will do it. Join us very, very soon for Jeepers Creepers 2. I wonder what
soon.
That's about. Thank you, Mr. Coughlin, for joining us today on
Uncensored. Thanks for having me.
It's been a delight. And until we come around your house and smell your underwear next time, you know, keep it creepy. Bye, folks.
'Yo, your ending music is pretty fucking dope. I just
bye, fucks.